this is totally not Danzig, and you're listening to the Shred Shack.
Greetings, folks. I'm Dan Mack.
And this is Chris Mack.
Welcoming you to episode 207 of the Shred Shack Podcast, your premier source of news and uninformed yet heavily biased opinions pertaining to all things heavy metal, coming to you bi-weekly through practically any streaming service. I feel like that sentence used to have something additional after it, and I feel weird just dropping that sentence. But anyway, so that whole sentence was a lie, actually, because we haven't come bi-weekly. This is actually 3 months. We were on a three-month hiatus.
Yeah, unintentional three-month hiatus.
Yes.
Things got just a little hairy.
Yeah, well, generally speaking, I think that just the last 3 months have just been very busy for everybody. So I think the time off was good. And now we're coming back end of the year, so but here we are, and where have we been? And of course, what better to start with than talking about the shows that we've seen and the shows that we were preparing for when we last were on the podcast. So I'm gonna let Chris start because you only have one story, and you're gonna do some bullet points.
Yeah. So, of course, if any listeners of the podcast know, in the shit I want section, a majority of my things that I wanted was a nice clean resolution to a potential strike between my redacted employer and the union that works for us. Fortunately enough, I think one of the last episodes that we recorded, that strike was averted. And the reason I wanted that to be a clean resolution is because it had to do with the potential to affect my trip to go see Metallica for the No Repeat weekend in Arlington, Texas. So, of course, with the strike being averted, I was able to attend the concert that I've been preparing for over a year. And I was very pleased to do that. So on Friday night or Friday afternoon, Brandon and I, we drove up to Dallas. We got to our Airbnb in Arlington, Texas, right by the AT&T Stadium, which is where the Cowboys play. It was such a cool stadium. It's a big place, like 80,000 to maybe 100,000 people. It sounded great. The AC was pretty good considering that it was like 105 degrees outside. It wasn't 105 degrees inside, which was pretty nice.
Nice.
Everything about the show was fucking incredible. So the first night, the opener was Mammoth WVH, and if you know anything about them, they're pretty much, you know, your basic rock and roll band. And I felt that they did well, but I think their sound is built more towards smaller venues. I think they would have been much. I would have liked to have seen them better in like a theater, like an Aztec, because it just felt like the place was too big for them. They didn't fill out the sound of the place, which is a shame because of course the band is extremely talented. Wolfgang being Eddie Van Halen's progeny and all that stuff. So there's there was talent there, but it just wasn't the right setting to see them. They were followed by Pantera, and you know I've seen Pantera a handful of times back in the late '90s, early 2000s. And they still have the power. And like I was a naysayer when this whole thing was announced with Zakk Wylde and Charlie Benanti saying like, oh, I don't think it's gonna work, I don't think it's gonna be that big a deal. It was a big deal. They were great, they were tight, the crowd loved them. The place was starting to fill up pretty I would say up to like maybe 65-75% full by the time Pantera was done. You know, crowd was into it. It was great. I mean, it's a Texas crowd. It's a Texas band. You know, it's all good. Mm-hmm. I knew all, I remember all the songs, and you know, the whole thing that people were thinking about was like Zakk Wylde's going to go in there and it's just going to be a fucking, like, you know, a cover band. But no, it's Zakk Wylde playing Pantera songs. So he's not trying to be Dimebag. He's Zakk Wylde playing Pantera songs. So there's like no issues there. Charlie Benanti is fucking so fucking tight. It was great. It was really good. And then Metallica hit the stage, and if you've seen pictures of the stage that they've been performing on for like the last like year or so, it's the big circle with the snake pit in the middle. Very, very Spartan as far as like the setting goes, because they don't have any amps or anything like that up there. It's very fucking stripped down, minimalist. Even to the point where like the drum set wasn't even on stage when the show started. So of course the song that they kind of lead into is A Long Way to the Top If You Want to Rock and Roll by AC/DC, which leads into The Ecstasy of Gold. And then while The Ecstasy of Gold's playing, a drum set comes up from the floor in one particular spot. And that drum set kind of changed positions like three times throughout the set. So it kind of was like every 30 minutes, it would change positions. So it's kind of like watching a clock, because the set was about 2 hours long. So every 30 minutes, the drum set was in a different position around the clock. And in that position, this drum set also spun. So like Lars was able to see the whole crowd throughout the whole stadium the whole time he was playing. It was pretty cool. So the set list was great. They played some, like, right off the bat, first night, they played Harvester of Sorrow. I mean, I could have went home after that, because that's like my favorite song. They played the first night, I'm trying to remember, because it was also like almost 3 months ago now, 2 months ago now, whatever. They played Orion the first night. They played, I think the closer was Master of Puppets. They played Seek and Destroy. That's when they had their big yellow and gold balloons come down, which like the beach balls that they've been doing for a while. And they played a couple of new tracks, of course. And just like, I think Pat had mentioned that, that when he saw them at MetLife, that it felt like the crowd kind of like lost interest on the new songs. And I can kind of see that, like, people were really there to see the old shit, which I get, but you know, over the course of a weekend, you're going to get you're going to get two completely unique set lists from each night. So that was cool. They did play, The Day That Never Comes off of Death Magnetic, and that got a pretty loud pop, which I was surprised about. So that was the first night. And the greatest thing about the venue is that it literally was down the street from our Airbnb, so we were able to we took an Uber to the venue because it was too hot to walk to the venue. Mm-hmm. But we walked back from the venue, and that was perfect because, like, you know, between 80 to 100,000 people, There was two other sporting events happening in the same area the same night. So the whole area was just fucking a disaster as far as traffic goes. Absolutely out of control. But able to walk back was great. So the second day that we were there Friday to Monday. So Saturday we had an off day between shows. So we hit the gym, bookstore, you know, got some Thai food, all that good stuff. Then the second night, we did the same thing. We Ubered over to the venue, got the venue, and the openers were Ice Nine Kills, and they were fun. They're another band that like I would probably want to see them in a theater, because again, like, they have so much going on that big stage, it felt kind of empty. Mm-hmm. Like, I would much rather see them in a more compact space. I think that'd be a little bit better. But they were fun. Five Finger Death Punch played, and honestly, I felt like I only knew like three songs. Like, it's been so long since I kept up with them. Like, they played Bad Company, of course. They played the song that they do with Rob Halford on one of their albums, like that. And that's pretty much was like the limit of my knowledge, in all honesty. But the thing is, like, they're a tight band. They sounded good. You know, the crowd was pretty into them too. So it was like, all right, you know, it's cool. But then Metallica came on for their second night, and you know, they just, every time I see them, it's like I'm seeing them for the first time again, you know. So they played Call of Cthulhu, they played Whiskey in a Jar, they of course Enter Sandman and One on this trip, Wherever I May Roam, and Dirty Mirror from fucking Saint Anger, which actually was sounded pretty tight in a live setting like that, you know, being huge and shit. But you know, it was great. And again, we walked back from the venue, and it was a great weekend. It really was a great weekend. It was everything I wanted it to be. It was everything I was looking forward to, and I can never get tired of seeing them live. So that's it was exciting. And now you and I have a whole year to look forward to seeing Iron Maiden yet again coming to San Antonio, which is dope.
That is indeed correct. So, yeah. What were you going to say?
No, that's it. That's pretty much wraps it up. I mean, the only thing I have looking forward to as far as shows go is that Brandy and I got tickets to go see Explosions in the Sky in December, which is going to be great. Because that was actually supposed to be the first concert that we were supposed to see together back in 2019. But one of the guys got sick and the show got canceled. And they haven't been around since then. So 5 years later, here we are coming full circle to see Explosions in the Sky.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, so pumped.
All right, cool. Metallica show did sound pretty cool, of course, but I feel like I've seen Metallica enough times personally. So, but what did I do? Well, stuff. Let's start with the first of the shows that came around, which was the Alice Cooper show. Alice Cooper played here at the Tobin Center. Our first time going to the venue, kind of theaterish, kind of the ideal place where a band like Mammoth WBH would thrive, in your opinion. So
I think so, yeah. Yeah,
it's a good place. So there was no opening act. It was just Alice Cooper, which I didn't know. I thought there was an opening act, and they just didn't announce it. That's what I'm used to at this point. But I show up, we get our spot, and we're just sitting there, and Alice Cooper starts. No opening act, just straight up Alice Cooper. I was like, oh, okay, I guess we're in for a good one. And yes, we indeed were treated to a good one. A lot of these songs are ones that are, you know, like Alice Cooper playing is some of his best, and I don't even have to name a few tracks, but he played No More Mr. Nice Guy, I'm 18, Bed of Nails, Hey Stupid, Welcome to My Nightmare, Only Women Bleed, all the stuff that if you've seen Alice Cooper in recent history, like, this is his show. I had never seen Alice Cooper play a headlining show, which is one of the big reasons why I went to this. And I was not disappointed. I was absolutely not disappointed. I think every bit of it was great. And I only missed out on one track just to beat traffic. But we got through most of a 25-song set list. So... although some parts were a little medley-ish and whatnot, Nita Strauss had a guitar solo, and she was fucking amazing. So, definitely, again, we've said this in the past, but, like, you know, Alice Cooper's never hurting for good talent. He's always got somebody there that's gonna be like, you know, they might take the center stage. So, but. Show's great.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a stable of talent to pick from. So
yeah, absolutely. So, and I'm sure there's anybody who, if he made the call, they come running. So, but show was amazing, and I was very happy I got to go. Then we go into September, and September, well, early on in September, I was in Austin for GalaxyCon. Not musically related, of course, but it's just nerdy related. Had a great time, a lot of great autographs, very poorly put together. There were still people waiting to get in when we left at like 4:30. And like the line was still like around the corner, and shit. It was like we got online. It was supposed to open at 10. We got online at like 10:25. Didn't get in for at least an hour or plus. So we were waiting for a while. But at, like your Metallica story, we were right down the street from the hotel. So when we were done, we could just walk three blocks home. So we enjoyed that thoroughly. And yeah, we made out like bandits with a whole bunch of cool shit and whatnot. Lindsay got to meet Vincent D'Onofrio, and she's probably still not over that yet. So, but good time. Which led into a trip to Amsterdam, which I'm going to come back to. But we went on vacation to the Netherlands to see Arion. And I'll come back to that and all that in a little bit. So after that, downtime, a little bit of downtime, and then Guns N' Roses show came up. Now, if you're a longtime listener to the podcast, when this all first started, we were very, very hesitant to believe that anything was going to happen. But now that we're at least like 3 years on from when they started doing this whole tour,
I think it's more like 6 years,
something like that. Yeah,
I was gonna say we've been talking about it since we started the podcast.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a while, but since everything was going well, I figured I'll get a ticket, and I was certainly treated. I will say that Guns N' Roses as a whole unit were amazing. Yes. The only downside was, the only slight downside was Axl Rose. So
I can imagine. Like, I've heard complaints about his voice.
Yes, but it's very noticeable. As far as, you know, some of the difficulties he has singing at this point, but he still does really, really fucking well, all things considered, especially considering the fact that it's a 31 song playlist.
True.
I did not anticipate it being that fucking long. So I thought it was going to be like a full on set. I look at one of the set lists from a previous show, and I'm like, holy shit, they just go all out. So I'm going to read off some of the but I'll point out some good positive points. So not only did they play their own songs, but they did a couple of covers. They played Knocking on Heaven's Door, Live and Let Die, the ones we know, but they also played some stuff that may have been on Spaghetti Incident. They played actually two songs from Chinese Democracy, and right. they also played a Velvet Revolver song.
What? So, what?
Yeah, they played Slither by Velvet Revolver. Wow. So yeah, and I gotta say, like, they couldn't let me down. There's song after song after song, and like everything you could possibly want to hear from Guns N' Roses, anything you hear on the radio, across like all the songs, all those songs they played that night, and it was fucking great. Everything felt fucking brilliant. One of the highlights absolutely was Civil War, of course. Fucking amazing track. When they did November Rain, again, brilliant. Night Train, like, awesome. But I thought, okay, it's the Alamo Dome, it's gonna be super crowded, I'll go before the encore, thinking it's gonna be like two, three songs maybe, and not big ones. They did five more songs, which included Patience, which is, I love that track, Don't Cry, and Paradise City. So ooh. I missed those tracks, but man, the set itself they were just on point. Like the band itself, you exclude Axl from it, and 100%, like you couldn't have been let down by that. They were great. And then you throw Axl on top, he's still doing it pretty well. But you know, overall, I had no complaints, and I would gladly go see this band again. Like 100%, they brought the show. They brought the show. So
How is Alice in Chains?
I actually missed Alice in Chains.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went there a little late, and I thought they were going to go on. I thought they were going to go on when I got there. There was some shit that went down finding my seat, but I got in my seats. The second I sat down, lights went out, Guns N' Roses came out. I had missed Alice in Chains. So, I had thought that they were going to start at that time, thinking like, okay, Doors at this time, band starts at this time. Nope. It's like, basically, we're starting at this time, and Guns N' Roses is going on at like probably shortly after 8. So, you know, they just rocked it. So, and I wish I had seen Alice in Chains, but I want to see them headline anyway. So,
yeah.
So, as far as the big shows that I've seen, that covers them. So, let me go back to the Arion show, because it does involve a lot of description here. So, of course, everyone knows, everyone should know. If you're listening to this podcast and you listen to me talk, you should know that this is, you know, this person talking is like a huge fan of Arion. And of course, so were a lot of people in the audience. When Arion Lucassen plans shows, when he plays albums live, which is basically the thing he does now every couple of years, it's a big deal, and I never got my chance to see it. But I said to Lindsay, like, he's playing, we're doing this, we're going, period. So we got all the tickets and everything and got all together. We were very quick about it, thankfully, because the tickets sold out 3 days. 3 days were set up originally. They sold out within minutes. They had to add two extra performances, matinee performances. So they would do it during the day around 2 p.m. and then they would do it again later on that night around 8. So there were 5 shows altogether. Five shows, excluding the dress rehearsal, which we got to go to as well, because if you got in fast enough, you could be one of 200 people who could watch the dress rehearsal the first time it's 100% like performed in front of anybody. So stoked for that. So I'd be seeing the show essentially twice. So I walk in to the venue, and the venue is built very, very, I thought it was very cool. So most of the area where it's people is standing, you have that area, you have the standing room only area, and the whole thing is technically standing room only, but behind the flat area are like long stairs, and people can make their way up them and stand from a height and try to see. So it gives you a completely different view. And because we were going to the dress rehearsal, so few people there, Lindsay and I walked in and took a seat on the stairs and just watched from our spot. Because a lot of people were up front. The performances were absolutely amazing. The people who they got to sing certain parts over, instead of the original singers, the replacements were really goddamn good. The primary replacement being, or most notable replacement being, Brittany Slays taking over the soprano parts done by Flori Jansson. I had no idea that Brittany Slays could sing soprano, so that threw me off. But a good portion of the original cast were there, like most of them. I think the only other one who didn't come was Joran Lande, and he was replaced by JC, who is in Supersonic Revolution, I believe. But they played the full album live, came out and asked what the audience what they think, and then they went into three other songs. One I'm not too familiar with, so I couldn't figure it out. One was Fate of Man from Star One, which was sung by Brittany Slays. And what was the last one? I can't remember now. There was a Star One, there was an Arion, and then there was... I can't remember the last song. But yeah, they did that. They played the extra, and again, everybody on point. The stage setup were like warehouse tiers with like a lot of like electric looking things and lights. The keyboards in the top left, a middle area for singers in the middle, top right were the backup singers. Beneath them were the drummer was Ed Warby, and to the other side were the musicians, the classical musicians who would come on stage, play their parts, and then leave. So everybody pretty much swapped places throughout the thing. Like, you know, the first voice that sings is on the original album is Tom England. Tom comes out, he sings his part, gets off stage until his next part. So it's not like they're all on stage at the same time or anything. But at the dress rehearsal, you know, there was one or two missed cues, but everyone seemed to get most of the idea. They actually had to replay one of the songs twice. Play it twice because they made a mistake in the first playthrough. So, and that was Beneath the Waves. So, was it what I wanted? Absolutely. 100%. This, like, I sat, like, I didn't talk throughout the entire thing. I didn't look at Lindsay. I was like, shut up. I'm having a moment here. No, I didn't say that. But I sat there and watched intently, except for when I was in the bathroom. And it was excellent just to be able to sit there, watch the show, be comfortable as hell, and watch what was going to be shown to everybody the following day. Yeah, after that we finished up, left for the night, and then we came back the second night for the actual show, which was going to be the first night that was being shown to the public. And we got there late, so we didn't see shit. No, we saw a little bit. My wife is very short and did not get to see very much. She was content with that, but she was content with listening in. And I watched from the side. Oh, I was able to see about three quarters of the stage, but I watched from there. I mean, I watched right up to the encore, and then we were like, okay, we saw this yesterday. I'm okay with leaving just because, again, we can't see. But we left, and again, you know, the second night, like, no mistakes, no seeming mistakes. It seemed like everybody was on point, every cue was caught, and it was just as good as the day before. So seeing the same show twice may have some people going like, why you do this? But it's like, you know what, for like this, I'd go see all the shows. I don't fucking care. So, and yeah, I mean, we've already said that the next time they plan a show, we're going. Like, this is going to become a thing for us every time. We're going to take that trip. So, it's going to be a ritualistic thing at that point. So we will be there the next time. But one of the funniest things that happened throughout all this, so they had their store was really fucking cool looking. They had a store off to the side of the venue. And when what they did months prior, I don't remember how long prior, at least a month, two, three, they showed you all the merchandise that was going to be available at the store, and it gave you the option to pre-order it. So of course I pre-ordered, and of course I bought everything, literally everything except the women's t-shirts, because I would have bought those too, but I don't, you know, I don't know how I'd look in them. Screw Lindsay. So I bought everything. I brought it to the person at the store, and I'm like, I'm here to pick up this order. And it's not set up like, okay, your pre-order number is this, we have it in our system, let's go get it together or anything like that, or let's go pull it out somewhere. No, I get to give them my phone with the receipt that shows everything listed on it, and they had to grab it all one by one from what they had. So they're just sitting there piling things on top of the counter for me. And I'm just standing there like, yep, this is perfectly normal. Don't mind me. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. As far as that goes, we got to wear some of the shirts while we were around. Seeing a lot of cool Aerion shirts, which is amazing considering that, you know, if I ever saw that here in the U.S. somewhere, I'd be like, oh my God, we need to be best friends. So, but yeah, that was the show. I'd gladly do it again. They're already talking about the upcoming or soon to be coming DVD and CD version of it. So that's going to be a thing. So it's going to be great.
Of course.
Yeah. And the night they recorded was not the first night. So none of the stuff that I saw will be on the recording. So it's I think they did it for the Saturday night and Sunday night. Saturday and Sunday. I think they filmed those. So but those will come out in the future on Blu-ray and DVD and all that. So but other than that, we have otherwise been just surviving, and we have returned now with our schedules aligned, and we're ready to carry on with our podcast. So that's where we've been.
We hope, anyway.
Yeah, that's where we've been, and here's where we're going. We are on Blabbermouth right now, looking at some of the news, most recent news. We won't go too far back, just cover some things that we seem to come across. And starting off things is the Halo Effect. They're going to release their first song from an upcoming album before the end of the year, so we're going to hear some new Halo Effect before the end of 2023. Let's see.
Good. Have you listened to them at all?
No, I haven't.
No. Okay. Yeah, they're good. I mean, again, all these guys are ex-members of In Flames, and they sound, you know, pretty much what you would expect them to sound. So they sound good.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is something that I think we're going to have to follow up on as a discussion in the future. But apparently, Rolling Stone released a list of the 250 greatest guitarists of all time. And this is a list that we should look into just for the sake of interest and maybe some discussion, like I said. But the reason that I am bringing it up is because the headline for this states that George Lynch of Lynch Mob and Dokken is not on that list. So I don't know how he feels about that, but we'll see. Some big news that I found a little weird, considering the fact that it just seemed out of nowhere, was the return of Mike Portnoy to Dream Theater.
Right? Where did that come from? That was so random.
Did not expect that whatsoever. You know, they didn't. I'm going to guess it was a kind of like a situation with, like Ripper and Halford, where it's like, okay, we don't have any ill will. We just want our other guy back. So, you know, kindly move along.
Yeah, and it the next day, Mike Mangini announced that he's releasing a solo album. So, I mean, it's not like he's like just sitting back and like taking it on the chin. And plus, everything seems to be very amicable. I mean, the statement that even Mike Mangini put out is like, listen, dudes, I was just here as a placeholder. I was never meant to like legitimately replace Mike Portnoy. 13 years later and a Grammy win later, he's out of the band. But it might have just been like things where like things like schedules didn't line up, and it's like, you know what, Mike Portnoy, he might be free and he's an original member of the band, let's fucking bring him back.
He can play that.
Yeah. I think he can.
I think he can play that. So that's cool to know. If you're a real buff for drums and Mike Portnoy especially, me personally, I rarely ever paid attention to the drums specifically on Dream Theater. So it's cool that Mike Portnoy is back in the band. To me, over in the surface level, it does not make a difference, but cool. So, former LA Guns and Wasp drummer Steve Riley, dead at 67. Let's see.
Yes, I saw that.
Battling a severe case of pneumonia.
Yeah, he didn't look too healthy in his photos here, so he might have had some other issues that pneumonia probably put it over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. So, rest in peace to him. Mark Tremonti, getting ready for Christmas, writes an original Christmas song called Christmas Morning and has shared a music video of it. That's probably interesting because I gotta say, like, everyone covers Christmas songs. Very few write their own Christmas songs.
Well, there is Dee Snider, who wrote a Christmas song
that
Celine Dion sung and made him a lot of money.
Yes, and I'm sure he's still getting those things. I have to wonder what like bankroll looks like during holiday season for Mariah Carey. Like
her and Michael Bublé and fucking Josh Groban, all those guys.
Oh yeah.
Wham.
Yeah. I can only imagine the pennies they're raking in. Yeah. the pennies they're raking in from Spotify.
That's a whole thing.
Yeah. John 5 releases a new instrumental song called The Ghost.
Sweet.
Have to listen some John 5. What I know of his material is pretty good, so yeah. Oh, I want to see this. This is not really all that newsworthy, but Rob Halford sings with Doro for a cover of Total Eclipse of the Heart. That's what I'm talking about.
I listened to it. She has a new album out that came out on Friday. It's a good cover. It's a good cover. She also, while Rob Halford was there to do his parts, they also did. She also recorded a cover of Living After Midnight with Rob. Which is
pretty good too. I believe I've had that on my queue. I think I've heard it. So I think that goes along with the Dolly Parton rock songs that I added, which I know we talked about. I know you talked about her version of "We Are the Champions" and "We Will Rock You." I liked it. She also did "Magic Man" by Heart.
Cool.
And it was really good. So I might actually buy that record. So
nice.
Just straight up have two albums from her. It'll be like the Jolene album and then the rock album, and I'll be set.
And that's it.
And that's it. Yeah, that's all I need. I'm fine. So Lordy announces Unliving Pick Tour show. Spring 2024 European tour. So Lordy going on tour in Europe. Hopefully they come back to the US. I've seen them once and they are. And the stage I saw them at was small, so it was right up there at the front. I saw an advertisement for this. Children of Bodom's final concert to be released as a live album this December.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that is going to be a new release in December. Let's see. Peter Frampton. Yeah, he's metal, right? To perform at a Father's Promise film launch concert in New York City. Well, that's cool. Okay. I like some of these quotes, like, I know they are likely horribly out of context because Blabbermouth is known for that, but Chad Gray on new Mudvayne Music, you can tell it's special. Okay.
All right.
Okay. That's cool, but Nile announces a new touring lineup. Let's see. Carl Sanders, George Koleos, Dan Vadim Vaughn. Damn, Vadim Vaughn. Wow. And Zach Jeter. So Carl and George were originally part of Nile anyway. Dan Vadim Vaughn is from Morbid Angel and Incantation, and Zach Jeter is from Hideous Divinity and Olkoth. So that's their lineup for Nile. As they do their upcoming tour. Just we were just saying this, Mike Mangini announces the release date for his solo album.
Yep.
Let's see. Not metal, but the Beatles are releasing a new song. So definitely 100% metal. 100% metal. Jethro Tull releases a music video for Wolf Unchained. 100% metal. Eh. The Grammys fucking said so. So. Ooh, this sounds interesting. Godsmack is talking about is in quotes, covering Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd on upcoming stripped down US tour. That does sound interesting. That does sound interesting.
Yes, sir, it does.
Just been a lot of interviews lately, a lot of quotes coming from people. It's not a quote. It'll have plenty of quotes in it, but official creator documentary is in the works. So, hell yeah to that. I would love to see a documentary about Creator. So.
All right. Did you pass? Oh, okay. So there's this cool thing that I keep seeing advertised to me. It's going to be it's on Paramount TV or Paramount TV Plus, whatever the fuck it's called, I think. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's a new docuseries called Our Bass Player's Human 2. Mm-hmm. And it's Geddy Lee of Rush going around and like hanging out and interviewing and chilling and jamming with like four bassists. and just like getting to know like their inspirations and stuff like that. So he's hanging out with Chris Novoselic from Nirvana, Robert Trujillo of Metallica, Melissa Auf-Dumar from Hole, and fucking Les Claypool from Primus. And it just looks like it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to be able to see what this is all about. I think it's coming out in December. And I keep, like I said, I keep seeing advertisements for it on like Instagram and shit like that. And it, like I said, it looks awesome.
Very nice. I think I would watch that. I hope there would be some fun humor to it. So, you know, bass players kind of being down on themselves and shit.
Yeah,
but that sounds cool. I would see that. Job for a Cowboy announces first album in 10 years titled Moon Healer. Sounds pretty cool to me.
Yeah.
The Pretty Maids announce first comeback concerts for 2024. I actually like the Pretty Maids. I think I have a record of theirs, an early record of theirs. So, Oh, Keith Richards wouldn't rule out the Rolling Stones hologram show. So, the only one who won't be a hologram is Keith Richards.
He'll outlive us all.
Seriously. Hey there. Just, it'll be like what's it called? Weekend at Bernie's, just someone propping him up and playing.
Hilarious.
That would be very funny. Guitarist Jeff Schroeder quits the Smashing Pumpkins. I forget the Smashing Pumpkins are still going. So,
I mean, you know, I mean, the last time I heard Billy Corgan sing on anything, it did not sound good. So,
has it ever?
I mean, like in the 90s, but now it's just like, oh, bro.
I'm sure. I don't think a voice like that will age well.
Right.
However, things that do age well, and individuals who do so, again, to release memoir Down with the System in May 2024. I will absolutely I would absolutely mean that. So
yeah, I'd be all about that for sure.
Yeah. Greta Van Fleet announces spring 2024 US tour. Where are they coming?
That's what I'm checking right now.
Let's see.
Oh, by the way, while we were doing this, Austin, Moody Center.
Nice.
I looked into the Iron Maiden date. Again, it's closing out the tour. It's the last show of the tour. It's at the Frost Bank Center here in San Antonio. It's formerly known as the AT&T Center. So it's the same place we always see them.
So it's the AT&T Center. Yeah.
It's exactly what you said earlier. It's just a name change.
Just somebody else bought it. Got it.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Just like the Best Buy Theater or the Times Square Theater or whatever the fuck. It had like three names before we moved out. So
I know. The Nokia, wasn't it like the Nokia Theater for a while too, or whatever?
Something like that. I don't even remember.
Oh, man. So, where we see this, it's the same fucking place.
Yeah. So, I mean, just call it something. Give it a cool name.
Right? We don't care who owns it. Just give it a cool name.
Yeah, like the Alamo Dome will never change itself. They should just unless they change it to Thunderdome. So,
but then only so many go in and only so many come out.
So. I'm sorry, what? My fucking cat just jumped all over my shit like an asshole.
It's like, what is happening?
And he spilled my water all over me. All right, I will clean this up a little bit as I continue talking. Maybe I'll lick it off the thing. Yeah. Anyway, back to the news. Lynch Mob announces farewell tour, The Final Ride. So we're just talking about Dokken and George Lynch. There goes Lynch Mob. They are calling it a day. So, of course. Heart to reunite for New Year's Eve concert in Seattle. That is pretty cool.
Yes, it is.
I hope they do something with that, whether it be a release or a broadcast of some kind. I believe that would be great. So that would be cool. And Devil Wears Prada and Fit for a King announced second leg of Metalcore Dropouts Tour. I'm not worried about, because I have no intention to see that one. We'll have.
They're playing in Corpus and in Austin.
Yeah, Austin. If I were to like them, I would absolutely go to Austin. The Osbournes apparently have a podcast.
Thanks.
But they're apparently releasing episode 7 of their revived podcast. Had no idea they even had a podcast. Can't imagine what it is, what it sounds like, if Ozzy talks on it or not. So
he mumbles on it. I've seen clips.
Okay. Doro rules out retirement. There's no other life, she says. So she's going to go until she croaks. And I want to see if they give her age. She's 59. Definitely doesn't look it.
No.
She's
been around forever, but.
Yeah, she just looks like a slightly older version of herself from, like, the Warlock days.
Right.
Stained announces spring 2024 U.S. tour. No one cares. Actually, there's going to be a surprising amount of people who care. I'm going to be like, God, why? Ooh. 2024 edition of Hellfest. Among confirmed artists, Foo Fighters, Megadeth, and Bruce Dickinson, presumably solo.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list right now. So you got Foo Fighters, Queens of Stone Age, The Offspring, Megadeth, Royal Blood, Bad Omens, Baby Metal, Biohazard, Bruce Dickinson, Bruhira, Dark Tranquility, Dimmu Borgir, Fu Manchu, Corpiclani, Kveller Tok, and Rhapsody of Fire. And Satyricon, and I skipped over a couple, but those are the main ones so far.
Oh, that sounds like a dream.
Yeah, it's a crazy lineup already.
All right, as I continue to get myself resituated here, someone who keeps making promises that I'm afraid to critique him on it because he might put me under a spell. But King Diamond is, quote, checking the possibilities to really come out with something next year.
Jesus Christ. You've been saying that for so long. I mean, I remember putting as my cover photo a picture of King Diamond with the year 2016 underneath it, and he was supposed to release something new then. That was fucking 7 years ago now, dog. Almost eight now.
Yeah, but you know what, honestly, it's King Diamond. He does what he wants. So
true.
So yeah, Papa Roach donates $150,000 to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. I'm not a big fan of Papa Roach, but I am a big fan of that. So very good on them.
That's a big deal. Big deal.
Yes. Evergrey announces 30th anniversary album from Dark Discoveries to Heartless Portraits.
Man, they have been pretty prolific.
Like, that's like every 2 years or so. I think I might have missed an album in between all of this. So, the anniversary, it will be available in various formats. It wraps up 3 decades of the journey, carrying some treats along the way. Let's see, I am okay. So it's going to be some some, it's basically going to be a best of, like, with some live, mostly live versions. Live versions of a few songs, yeah. Piano vocal versions, demo versions. So, yeah, it's going to it's definitely for the ones who are already fans. Like, you know, the diehards will get all over it.
I mean, every time they come around on my fucking playlist, they are fucking, it's always a welcome fucking thing. So, yeah. Anything new by them is good.
Yeah. Of course. Let's see. Still more crap. Marty Friedman announces new Insider's View of Japan event at Japan Foundation in Los Angeles.
Cool.
I'm sort of curious what that really is, but it doesn't sound like it's metal related. It sounds like it's, you know, just related to what you can see in Japan. Unless it's all him noodling about. Gorguts to begin work on new album later this fall. I gotta say, the picture they put, like, whoever the vocalist slash guitar player is in this, he looks fucking cool. I want to look like that when I'm old.
Like, with the beard and the hair and the glasses, like,
yeah,
that's
like,
awesome.
The near skullet, but like not quite, just a gigantic forehead and the grayish hair and all that. Yeah, I would 100% rock that shit.
This is he looks like Santa Claus on the off season. Like, this is what he does to supplement the time between fucking, you know, Christmas and every fucking the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to work on the album later this fall, probably finish it up by, like, you know, end of November, so he can get ready for being Santa. So,
and just fucking just drop it off at everybody's house, whether they like it or not, like you too.
Oh my god, that was so fucking bad too. Why'd you have to bring that up?
Yeah, but they're making it up for it. Have you seen pictures of them performing at the Sphere in Vegas, this new venue they have that's all immersive?
No, I have not.
So, like, the Sphere, like you know how, like, some bands have, like, the backdrop that's all, like, screens and shit like that? The entire venue is a screen, and it's like a sphere on the inside. So, like, they can put on this show around the entire place while the band is playing. And, like, U2 has been doing, like, a fucking residency there. And it looks amazing. It looks insane.
Nice. That sounds pretty badass, so.
Yeah, it looks incredible.
There was a quick thing about AC/DC in here, and while there's not really much news about AC/DC itself, I wanted to mention, going back to the Guns N' Roses show, you know, knowing that Axl Rose had taken over for Brian Johnson for a spell over AC/DC, in seeing him live and hearing how he does certain things, I was like, okay, I can definitely see him doing a Brian Johnson a little bit. I can definitely see him taking a decent spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've seen clips of him performing during that period of time with AC/DC. I was like, all right, yeah, this is okay. It's all right.
It's definitely respectable, you know.
For sure, so, for sure.
Striper's Michael Sweet to undergo surgery for suspected thyroid cancer. Fucking cancer.
Oh, wow. God damn.
Iron Maiden's Nicko McBrain is 85 to 90% back to strength after suffering a stroke in January. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see. Black Crows now. Magnum announces new album, Here Comes the Rain. Magnum's a good band, I like them. So, ooh, here's a good opinion bit. Dave Lombardo says Slayer was best Big Four band. We really showed everyone else how it should be done. I mean, again, arguable. And they did kind of play around a little bit, so they kept it mostly the same exact thing forever. So, I mean, if that's the way that you do it, then cool. So, Nightwish singer and Sabaton drummer welcome their second child.
Yes.
So now, yes. so this is a reminder that Flor Jansen is a MILF.
Wow.
I didn't say it. Like, anybody who would be listening to me saying that Flor Jansen has a child would automatically think that. So. Because they're already thinking she's hot, so. Dark Tranquility begins recording new album.
Sweet.
Yep. Here's one that I'm honestly okay with. Marco Hiezela doesn't think he will ever rejoin Nightwish. I gotta say, he reached a certain age and then stopped aging. Because he's technically he's like 60 or something. But he's looked the same for like 20 years.
Right?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Steve Martin effect.
You reach a certain age and you just stop.
Yeah, like you age to a certain point and you look a little bit older, a little bit more rugged and everything, but like that's you when you're like 30/40s and then you just stop aging. The end. You're done. Korn officially announces collaboration with Adidas several years after their song Adidas. And
I was gonna say it only took them like 27 years.
Yeah. Apparently though, the whatever full-on stock supply of these things sold out because a lot of scalpers picked up the stuff and they're going to try to resell it at high prices, allegedly.
Oh. Yeah, they do that for fucking clothes too, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, any way to make a buck. D. Snyder, speaking of any way to make a buck.
is Celine Dion.
Is done making solo albums. I'm not feeling this urge. Okay, well, I'll talk to you in a year. So, Static X, not opposed to making more new music with Zero's vocals. Okay, I mean, that's what I kind of figured, unless you were just going to
Take the fucking mask off then and stop being Wayne Static and be yourself.
Yeah, that would be best. Ooh, Dimmu Borgir announces covers album in Spiritio Profanus. And they are covering Black Metal by Venom, Satan My Master by Bathory, Dead Men Don't Rape, GGFH, I don't know what that stands for, Nocturnal Fear by Celtic Frost, Burn in Hell by Twisted Sister, which already exists, Perfect Strangers by Deep Purple, Metal Heart by Accept, and a Celtically processed version of Nocturnal Fear by Celtic Frost. Some of these already exist.
I'm really excited to hear the Perfect Strangers cover.
Like I said, they may already exist, so you just probably search for it.
Man. I want to have to.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
Okay, looking to see. Oh, here we go. Exodus to enter studio in March. New album to arrive by September 2024. Excellent. Let's go with one more bit of news. Um, Give me something good. Give me something. I said something good. We'll keep it at this. Flash, featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators, announced a 2024 world tour.
Nice.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, we can, for next time, we can look at feuding, because Sharon Osbourne calls Nikki Sixx an asshole and says she doesn't believe Ozzy's ant-snorting story. So,
but didn't Ozzy fucking corroborate that one?
I know he said so on Behind the Music, so I think she's underestimating her husband.
I mean, she should not. I mean, didn't he also almost kill her? But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, he definitely couldn't do that now.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we're gonna cut the news there, because I think that's plenty for now. We'll otherwise get reacquainted with the metal world. We've missed a little bit. So, nothing too noteworthy. I think this is going to be an appropriate time to take a commercial break. Strictly
Commercial. Greetings, metalheads. Dan Mack here, and if you're a fan of putting a little heat on your meal, spice up your life with one of the many hot sauce flavors available from our sponsors at Hella Hot Hot Sauce. All natural, no preservative, and California-made, Hella Hot Hot Sauce provides small-batch artisan hot sauces made from fruit and pepper blends that emphasize aroma, taste, and of course, heat. With several flavors available, some seasonal, others year-round, and collaborations with members of Ghoul, Exhumed, Gwar, and Hatebreed, there are plenty of options to suit your palate. Head over to hellahothotsauce.com and buy up a couple bottles now.
And we're back, and we're going to go into a little extra. This is where we get a little non-metal, of course. And we figure that we might as well still do it, because we've been gone for a while. Some shit may have happened. We may have gone down a rabbit hole or two. A little light reading. Somebody went to like 10 bookstores in a day. You.
Yes. Yes, we did.
Yeah. So there's been a lot going on. We don't have anything of a crowdfunding tracker, so we're going to go straight to shit I want. Chris, what the living fuck do you want?
Honestly, I don't think there's much that I want right now, only because, I mean, I got my Metallica show. Earlier this year, I had mentioned the Lego sets that I want. I wanted the Lego Rivendell and the Lego Hogwarts, and I got both of those. And they're gorgeous, and they're wonderful, and, you know, to be a kid again, you have to have adult money. That's all it is.
Absolutely.
I also did pre-order. I pre-ordered the Dune Ornithopter from Lego. It comes out in February, so I have a couple months to wait. But I pre-ordered it, and I'm just waiting for it to arrive. I'm super excited because the minifigures in that look awesome. It has functions that you can flap the wings. It has a badass movable landing gear. It looks insane. It's going to be great. That's really that and more books. Like, dude, seriously, when we get to light reading, it's been hard whore since the last time we recorded.
Yeah, I'd imagine. Should I want? I want to sit down and actually read my books. I'm steadily working on trying to. So I'm still. The last 3 months have been a trip, essentially, and I'm still trying to feel like things are back to normal, in a sense. Just because, like, I've kind of felt like off since I got back from the Netherlands, you know, because we were so much anticipation for that. You know, I've just felt a little weird, and it hasn't gone away. So I'm like, something feels not right. So I want that to go away, which I'm hoping is going to be pretty soon as I try to get things a little bit more settled in what I'm doing in home life, and also increasing my workload soon. So. I want things to go back to feeling normal. So,
I get you.
Let's talk about Down the Rabbit Hole.
Honestly, no, not really. You know what? It's part of a little light reading, and I'll expand on it when we get there. But I went because it's October and it's spooky season. I went down a Stephen King rabbit hole, so we will discuss that in a little light reading.
Well, I don't have any particular rabbit holes that I went down, so let's go on to a little light reading, and you're going to take the floor.
Well, let me tell you, since the last time, I think one of the things that you and I have talked about over the course of this year is kind of like prioritizing different things, like reallocating how we use our time and like trying to like better ourselves with the different uses of our time. And one of the things that that's come to the forefront again and has been fucking just a trip has been reading. Since the last time we recorded, I have read 26 books, and not short ones either. Not like I read some short ones, but not many short ones. So just a quick glimpse of what I've read so far. It started off, Brandy got me American Prometheus for my birthday. American Prometheus is the Robert Oppenheimer biography. That's what Christopher Nolan based the Oppenheimer movie on. So I plowed through that. It's a 600-page book. I plowed through that in like a week. I followed that up with my other birthday gift, which was the Silo series. Silo being one of my favorite TV shows that came out this year, based on the book Wool. But there's a three-book series consisting of Wool, Shift, and Dust. I read all three of those pretty quickly. I had COVID in August, late August, so I was able to plow through that while I stayed home from work for a couple days. Follow that up with two post-apocalyptic books, kind of like on opposite sides of the spectrum as far as like of how desperate and how awful they were. I read The Road by Cormac McCarthy, and Station 11. Station 11 I read because it was one of my favorite miniseries that came out on HBO back in 2021 or 2022, probably, maybe. Either way, both very good. Then I read the entire Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, all five books in a row, knocked those out. Read the Hunger Games series, all three of the original books, plus the new prequel that came out. The movie's coming out in November, so I'll be preparing for that. Then I read the book You, which is the what the TV show is based off of, and the TV show and the book are pretty much exactly the same. Both hilarious. Definitely like like Joe Goldberg is a piece of shit, but it's so funny to hear him in his inner monologues. Follow that up with two back-to-back Ray Bradbury books, the Martian Chronicles, which was excellent, and something Wicked This Way Comes, which was a little fun. And that went right into my Stephen King rabbit hole for the month of October. I read The Outsider, which is relatively new and very good. There's a miniseries out on HBO right now starring Jason Bateman and oh, I forgot his name, but he's the Australian actor. He was in Rogue One and fucking and Captain Marvel. I forgot his name though, but he's great. I followed that up with Sleeping Beauties, which is a book that Stephen King wrote with his son Owen. That was excellent. Then I read Insomnia, which is a book that I've been having staring at me from my bookshelf for fucking years, and I never got to it. Finally did, 800 pages. I read Duma Key, which is a book I never even heard of, but I had found it at a Half Price Books sometime earlier this summer. And then I went into my first Stephen King reread. I've never reread any of his books so far, but I reread The Stand, all 1,100 pages of it. And knocked that out in 9 days. So good. Just as good as the second time as it is the first time. Follow that up with Gerald's Game, which is a quickie, nice short one. Then The Institute. That one came out, I think it was 2019, 2020. I remember it coming out, and I remember it being pretty highly praised, and it was a banger of a book. It was so good. Fucking, I couldn't put it down. Like, I finished, it was like another like 500 to 600 page book. I finished it in 2 days because it was just that fucking good. And I finished off just yesterday. I finished off From a Buick 8, which is another car story similar to Christine. It was okay. That was a 3-star book for me. I'm going to finish that up. I finished that up, and I'm going to head into one more Stephen King book, which is On Writing, which is his memoirs. So I'm going to finish reading that, or I'm going to read that. I haven't started it yet. I'm going to read that, and then that's going to lead into my theme of November, which is going to be biography month. So I'm going to read Stephen King's biography, and then I have a bunch of biographies lined up to read for the month of November. And then basically, as far as reading goes, Brandy and I, we have gone on a tear since August. I think we've probably bought anywhere between 400 and 500 books in the last couple months. We go to Goodwills. They have great deals, like for $2 for paperbacks, $3 for hardcovers. You find some gems mixed in with the rough stuff. I have to give a shout out, of course, to our local San Antonio Public Library. Their downtown location has the bookseller in their basement. And seller being like CELLAR because they're in the basement. And they have such a great selection of $1 paperbacks, $2 hardcover books. They have deals all the time with like, you know, half off if it has like a little red dot on it. And they just told us today, because we went there today, we spent 2.5 hours there today. They told us that there will be another sale coming up in November. So we'll probably be heading back there very, very soon. But books is now the priority. The only thing I do now is I wake up in the morning, I go to the gym, I go to work, I come home, go back in the gym, and read in every free moment I have. And that's what we're doing now. That's our lives.
Okay. Okay. So that sounds like routine.
And yeah.
A hell of a lot. So cool. I am trying to put a similar structure to my life, but the downside to my job is that my work schedule is scattered. It's weird. Like, you know, when like you don't want to do anything because you're anticipating something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, you know, it's like, okay, can't go too far. 'Cause in like 30 minutes I have this person coming up, and it just, it's random throughout the day. So it's a little weird, but I'm working on timing things out a little bit better. So, and that way I can actually get to some of my books. So, but yeah, otherwise I've got, you know, nothing for a little light reading. So hopefully maybe by next time I'll have something going.
Yeah, I hear you.
How about for your viewing pleasure?
Honestly, we haven't really watched much. I mean, we're really focusing on this reading thing. Mm-hmm. But the only thing that we've started watching is the TV show Foundation. Mm-hmm. It's on Apple TV Plus, and it's based, I would say probably loosely based, because I really don't know the story and some of the stuff that I've read that they changed from the books is very significant. But it's based on the Foundation by Isaac Asimov. And it stars Jared Harris, he's fucking, I love him so much. He was
Moriarty.
He was in Chernobyl. He plays Harry Seldon in this. He's the main guy. Lee Pace is Empire, which I'll talk about in a second. And a couple of other not known to me actors, but very good actors, though. Super sci-fi, fucking hardcore sci-fi. Love it so much. The most interesting concept that I love about it is the concept of the genetic dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
So the Empire has been around for a few thousand years, but in the last 400 to 500, I can't remember what the number was, but the last like 400 to 500 years, the Empire has been ruled by one emperor. And what this emperor did is he started cloning himself, and he started cloning himself at, and there's always three there's always three emperors ruling at the same time. And I say emperors in quotes because it's the same person. They're just genetic copies of the same person at different points of their life. So it's like a young kid. He's called Brother Dawn. Then there's the guy in the middle. He's called Brother Day. And then the older version of him is called Brother Dusk. And they rotate through these versions of themselves for generations. And it's a pretty awesome concept. They're like exact identical copies. They age the same. They have the same mannerisms and all that stuff. So like the idea of the genetic dynasty is pretty amazing, I thought. Yeah, it's a good show. It's a good show. Okay. So as far as that, I mean, that's the only thing we really watched recently. Mm. I haven't gone to the movies with the boys recently. There hasn't been much out. Although I probably gonna take the boys to see Five Nights at Freddy's next weekend. And then I had already mentioned that the Hunger Games prequel movie is coming out in November. We'll probably take the boys to see that. And the Marvel's coming out, the sequel to Captain Marvel. So
very nice.
That's about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I watched a few things, but not too many that I can recall. I'll try to recall one or two things. Well, first, most recently, as of, I believe, yesterday, Lindsay and I watched Scream. I have never seen Scream, the original Scream.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah,
never seen it before. And so I had originally thought something, I because of Scary Movie, I was led to believe something about that movie as far as the ending. It ended up being wrong. Mm-hmm. So I was surprised by it, and I was surprised by it in that silly positive way, because it's like, this is the dumbest shit ever. so it, but it was a good, I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was really good. So whether or not the rest of them are good, I have no fucking idea, but we watched it. We'll see if I continue on with the rest. In addition to that, we started the first half of the new season of Shoresy, which is always entertaining. So I'm enjoying that. Lindsay is a big fan of Westerns. So at one point we watched Silverado, Kevin Costner, Kevin Kline, and I forgot who else.
What's his name in that? Danny Glover.
Yes, Danny Glover is one of them, and then there's one more. Yeah, but that was a good movie. I'm not a big Western fan personally, so it took me a little while to get into it, but I enjoyed the story that was told. Will I watch it again? No, I'm plenty fine with what I saw, but. And I also saw Tombstone.
Good. Yes. Which I was going to ask.
So, of course, that's a great exaggeration of a story about Wyatt Earp, because Lindsay was doing a lot of research, and apparently he's a very bad man, but history portrays him as this heroic gentleman. He was not good. So, but either way, the movie itself I thought was great. Despite the fact that it just bungles history, but it has one of quote that I continue to say to myself over and over, which is, I have yet begun to defile myself. So
Doc Holliday, I love that man. That yes. Val Kilmer in that movie
He's the best part of that.
Oh my god. By fucking far. Oh my god. I got two guns, one for the each of you.
just his whole part in that is awesome. I thought it was great. It was a great performance from Val Kilmer. You know, I haven't seen too many films with him in it. But phenomenal. So I loved it. I loved his performance most of all. But again, I thought the movie was really good, and not another one I'd watch again, if not for Doc. So,
yeah.
So yeah, that's all I can really recall watching from the past few months.
Months.
Yeah, because you know I'm not much of a watcher of things. I have a hard time kind of sitting and watching something specific. At least at this point, setting aside that time and saying, okay, I'm gonna do it. So I'm working on it though. I still want to watch all the Saw movies because of the new one that came out. So I have yet to start that, but I will do that soon.
Yeah, I heard the new one was actually fairly good too.
I liked all of them, except for the ones I haven't seen yet, which is like Spiral, Jigsaw, and that might be it. Yeah, that'd be it. So the ones after 7, I haven't seen. But I thought everything else was fine. You know it's some of it's kind of bullshit, but who cares? I thought it was great. So I'm easily entertained. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it for your viewing pleasure. And I think that takes us to our final sequence, which is heavy metal in the charts.
Which is quote in quotations.
okay, well, let's just call it the charts.
The charts. Yeah, because we know what this means. You know, it's going to be us talking about Taylor Swift records.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is that just this past Friday, Taylor Swift released 1989 Taylor's version. So we're going to expect a big jump probably by the time we record again.
Yep.
But in the meantime, I know that you usually like to hear who the top five and who the Mr. Irrelevant at number 200 is. So are you ready to get into this?
I am ready.
All right. Number one is a new record by Bad Bunny, former 24/7 champion.
Former 24/7 champion, yeah. But I am not surprised. I didn't know he was coming out with a new album, but I am at no surprise that it's at number one.
Yeah, not a surprise at all. At number two is Drake for All the Dogs. It was at number one last week, so it's a new album from Drake. Mm-hmm. It's been on the charts for 2 weeks. At number three, we have a new album from Tomorrow Together, the name chapter, Free Fall. That's the name of the album.
Mm-hmm.
At number four is Zach Bryan, self-titled record. That's a relatively new album. It's been on the charts for about 8 weeks now. It peaked at number one, and it was at number five last week. And at number five is a new album by Offset called Set It Off.
I have no idea who that is.
I'm pretty sure he's a rapper. I've heard of him.
Oh, okay.
So pretty much the thing you have to take away from this is that in the 3-month hiatus that we've been on, or the 2-month hiatus we've been on, Miss Taylor Swift has been dethroned from the top five spot.
Yep.
Since Midnights have come out, she has not been below five, maybe once or twice. But rest assured, at number eight is Lover by Miss Taylor Swift, followed right behind it by Midnights at number nine. So not to worry. Not to worry. All right. Folklore, Miss Taylor Swift, at number 14. That's her third record in the top. We got Speak Now, Taylor's version, is at number 18, followed right behind the original 1989 at number 19. That's five albums in the top 20 so far.
Huh.
Reputation by Miss Taylor Swift is at number 21. Red, Taylor's version, is at number 24.
Jesus Christ.
And Evermore is at number 26. That's already eight albums in the top 30. All right. Wow. Now we start scrolling a little bit. We got some scrolling a little bit. All right. We got Rumors here at number 35. Fleetwood Mac, of course. Oh, shit. Beartooth has a new record out called The Surface. Is at number 42.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Good job on
that. Just above Fearless, Taylor's version, number 43. That is her ninth record in the top 50 of the top 200 albums in the fucking country. Remember, again, 1989 Taylor version just came out. Expect a bump. All right, Queen's Greatest Hits is at number 52. Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon is a re-entry at number 54. Pretty sure that it's the 50th anniversary of the album, so I'm not sure if they've just released it like a 50th anniversary edition recently. It's just Dark Side of the Moon. Oh shit. It's from The Eclipse. Eclipse 2 weeks ago. It's probably from The Eclipse still. Maybe. I don't know. It's wild. I don't know. All right. Chronicle, the greatest hits of Creedence Clearwater Revival is at number 56.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're doing some scrolling now. Again, Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack is in number 69. Getting an early start. All right. Well, probably for This Is Halloween.
Yeah, it's probably just for, in general, it's a Halloween and a Christmas movie.
Yeah. Let's see. What else we got here? Thriller by Michael Jackson at 81. The Best of Nickelback at 91. Journey's Greatest Hits is at number 102. Greatest Hits of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers at number 103. Foo Fighters' Greatest Hits is at number 107. Guns N' Roses' Greatest Hits is at number 112. The Essential Michael Jackson at 117. And Aerosmith's Greatest Hits is at number 118. All right. At number 120 is Nevermind by Nirvana. Legend, The Best of Bob Marley and the Wailers at number 125. Crosses, the project with Chino from fucking Deftones, their new album, is 139, debut 139.
Very nice.
Pretty sweet. Lynyrd Skynyrd Greatest Hits 146. Okay. Eagles Greatest Hits at number 159.
Yeah, we're sparse at the end here.
Yes. Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band at number 164. Meteora by Linkin Park at number 166. Hybrid Theory by Linkin Park at number 170. Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge by My Chemical Romance at 171. Oh, man. Here we go. Almost there. Greatest Hits of Bon Jovi at number 186. Greatest Hits of Fleetwood Mac at number 193. Black Album by Metallica at 195. Here's a random re-entry. Yield by Pearl Jam at number 197.
Oh.
Yeah, that's weird. That's random shit.
Yeah, that's a funny one.
Yeah, what is going on with that one?
Yeah,
or there's like a TikTok video with a Pearl Jam song in it or some shit. And last but not least, Mr. Irrelevant, Elvis Presley, as a re-entry of his 30 number one hits, Mr. Irrelevant, Elvis Presley.
Wow! Don't say that too loud.
I know, right? Like, I think I got someone kind of bringing down my neck right now.
Yeah, seriously. Well, anyway, so that's the charts. Good job on Beartooth and Crosses for getting on the charts. Metallica still holding on for dear life at the very end there, but Black Album still there, of course. You know, the occasional reappearance of Dark Side of the Moon. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah, 900 some odd weeks on the charts. Like, what are they going to do when that thing crosses 1,000?
Yeah, I think one album that will never go off the charts, like, ever, is going to be the greatest hits of Queen.
Probably, yeah. I mean, no. That's going nowhere, ever.
Yeah. I honestly believe that it will never leave. And you know what? If it does in my lifetime, I will shed a tear. I'll shed a tear.
It'll be a sad day. It'll be
a sad day. Sad day. Just me alone, just listening to Fat Bottom Girls on repeat.
You're picking those numbers up, baby. Those are rookie numbers.
Okay, so that's where we're going to call it for our first show back in 3 months. It's
been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. So we're going to make our curtain call. Warrior wants food and goes to read. And I'm going to go defile myself. So, so until next time, I am Dan Mack.
I am Chris Mack.
And we are still the slime. Still.
Still, right. We're here.
Yeah, we're here. I'm over here.